the business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland. As Ireland's enterprise bank, we're lending to over 500 businesses and farmers every week.
Well, the first week of the Leaving Cert is done and dusted, and no doubt students are already thinking about what career might lie ahead. But maybe they shouldn't worry too much about what's next if they were to pay attention to a couple of recent reports. An article in Forbes suggested that already most people have seven different careers over their lifetime, and the average person only stays in a job 4.4 years. But how easy is it to change job or industry or career? Well, we're joined now by some people who've successfully done that in the past. Gráinne Walsh, MD of Craft Beer Metalman, Ian Milne, Funeral Director, and Peter O'Connell, owner of Career Development Associates. Peter, you're in the business of advising people on career changes, but you've had a few career changes yourself in your day. What were they?
I have. I mean, although what I do now is advising people around career change, I actually started off as a seminarian.
And what did you do straight after the seminary? What was your first job after that?
Well, my first job, believe it or not, I came out and I said, right, you know, I don't know what I want to do. So I became a labourer on a building site.
Did you tell all the lads on the site that you were straight out of the seminary or anything? No,
I didn't. But as all these things do, it came out. So I became known as the Bishop.
Right.
That's what they used to refer to me. So driving a dumper on a site called the Bishop could be quite interesting.
And then after that, you would have changed career a few times before doing what you're doing now.
Yes, I did. I mean, predominantly, I started off in sales. I actually started off, one of the first jobs I got was selling Sudocrem. So I was dealing with nappy rash and babies' bottoms for quite some time. And then I moved into printing and then into the drinks business. So I've changed career several times.
So when people come into you and they're thinking about changing career, where are they in their heads? Do they typically just hate their job?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes people will talk to me and say, do you know something? I need to do something different, or I want to do something different. And, you know, they get frustrated with themselves sometimes because they don't know what it is they want to do. So occasionally you can actually start from a negative space. You can say, well, what is it you don't like about your job? Well, I hate sitting in an office all day. That's not what I want to do. That's a great starting point.
Ian Milne, you set up your own funeral business, and you've three funeral homes now. The first one was in Portadown, but your career, you started quite a long way away from that. What were you doing first?
I was in financial services. It was a culture of profit-driven excess. There were rewards for every time you achieved anything. It was push, push, push. British American Tobacco's owned it. It's called Ali Dunbar. And it got to the stage where I thought, I'm not actually feeling fulfilled. I want to feel fulfillment in my life. And coincidentally, my wife had a bar and restaurant, and one Saturday night, the local funeral director came in, Robin Steenson. Sadly, he was killed off a motorbike last year. But he came in and he said, Ian, I'm really stuck. I've no staff tonight. Would you come and give me a hand? I went out to the call that he was going out to. Felt terribly nervous, didn't like the physical side of it, but then realised that there was an empathy. The people were there, they were vulnerable, they needed somebody to point them in the right direction. They wanted to achieve the best result for their loved one, to have an end memory where the deceased looked as good as they could, and they had a nice vision in their mind of what the deceased looked like.
But that's a massive career leap, isn't it? From financial services, you suddenly find yourself in the funeral business, and you decide you want to set up your own business as well, because it's quite unusual in funeral services, isn't it, for people? It's usually in families it runs, isn't it?
Yes, it's always been in families until now, where firms like the Co-op have bought 28 of the businesses in Northern Ireland. But if you imagine, on day one, I bought a small house beside a cemetery. Although it was in the town that I was from in Portadown, I wasn't known for being a funeral director. And I sat in that office on my own every day for 6 months before somebody walked in through the door and said, I'd like you to do a funeral. Long time.
What were you thinking? Were you thinking, come back financial services, this has been a disaster?
Funny, no. I was thinking, this has to get better. It was like a roller coaster, an emotional roller coaster, because one day you're thinking, maybe today's the day. And then the next day you're thinking, oh no, it wasn't yesterday, you know, so maybe it'll not come. And then it happened.
One of the other unusual things, your business is a cross-faith business. In Northern Ireland, I presume, traditionally, there would have been Protestant funeral service businesses and Catholic funeral service businesses.
Traditionally, that was the case. Thankfully, that's breaking down now. But, I mean, it's only 8 years ago I was sitting in the office, and in those days with one girl and myself, and she was upstairs and the door opened, and this wee man comes in and he says, is Ian Milne about? And I shook hands with him. I says, I'm Ian Milne. And he says, do you bury Catholics? I says, only if they're dead. And he thought that was hilarious, you know.
Yeah.
And then I felt maybe I'd gone too far in that statement. But he says, no, he says, I'll tell you, my father and your uncle worked together. My uncle was a train driver, and his father was the man who stoked the fire for him on the steam trains. And my uncle was a big man, the orange and black. His father was in the Ancient Order of Hibernians, and the two of them supplemented each other's roles, and couldn't do it these days, you know, with health and safety and stuff. But and there was that cross-community respect for each other's cultures, if you will. So
instead of having a go at each other on the train on certain dates of the year, they were actually covering for each other.
Correct. And signing each other's names in, he was telling me, you know, and they shouldn't have been doing it, you know. But I think that's lovely, you know. And that's what started my faiths and no faiths funerals, you know. And now we're into things like satanic funerals.
Satanic funerals?
Yeah, wizards' funerals, witches' funerals. We had a very interesting funeral of a wizard, and there were 400 people from all over Ireland. And at the graveside, they put 13 black roses around an arrow and fired it onto the lid of the coffin. So very interesting things, you know. The nicest funerals are the Vietnamese funerals, where they actually push the hearse away, the family do, three times from the door, and then they stick money on the side of the hearse. You go to the graveyard, they have food set up at the side of the grave, and then they burn things like £100 notes, as I cry and watch, but to send the money to the next life, pencils, paper, things like that. And it's just, it's lovely. The services are just fantastic on each side, you know.
Gráinne Walsh, yours is an interesting story of change, because you started out studying computer science, IT, software, but that's not what you're doing now.
That's right. I left the University of Limerick longer ago than I'd probably like to remember, with an applied mathematics and applied computing degree. And I suppose I sort of fell into an IT career, hired into a big multinational straight out of college, wasn't even sure what I was going to be doing, and sort of stayed in that field for the next maybe 10 years or so before I realised that, you know, I had tried a number of different roles in that area and none of them really stuck with me. And I always found something that I didn't like. It was maybe the team I was working in. I didn't like the work, or I didn't like the direction, or I didn't feel we were accomplishing anything, and or maybe the ethos of the company. So I dabbled at one stage. I decided maybe academia might be for me, and I did a master's part-time in theoretical physics. And I reckon about halfway through that, I decided, no, academia definitely wasn't for me. So at that stage, then I found myself in a role in a big company where the ethos was brilliant, the people were brilliant, the work was really interesting, but I still wasn't settled. And I sort of had to face it then at that stage that there wasn't going to be a role in the IT world that was going to be me. The problem was me, not IT. So at that point, one of my, I suppose, chief interests at that stage was brewing beer. Myself and my other half would brew at home. We were sort of jaded by the lack of selection of what we would like to refer to as good beer, interesting beer, that was available in Ireland at the time.
So together you set up your own craft brewing business, Metal Man.
That's right.
In Waterford, and that's going well.
Yeah, that's right. In 2011, Tim did the honourable thing and stayed in his full-time job to pay the bills, and I jumped ship, and we launched our first beer in March of 2011.
Peter, when you look at it in relation to people thinking about changing job now, and you listen to the stories there from Ian and Gráinne, a couple of things certainly strike me. One is Ian talks about a lack of fulfilment, wanting something a bit more than the job was giving him. And in Gráinne's case as well, it's interesting that her husband kept up the full-time job? Because if you're going to change career, you may actually end up doing two jobs at once for a period. Isn't that true?
Well, that's exactly true. I mean, I've worked with people, someone who came out of the insurance business, and they're interested in working in, childcare. But childcare in terms of alternative therapy. But it's not something that happens overnight. So I think Grainne's example particularly is something really important. You have to be practical about this as well. I mean, it's about the marriage of passion and practicality to say, yes, I'm interested in doing this, but equally, you know, I need to understand I have to pay bills at the same time.
Ian, when you first made the move, how did you manage the transition? You gave up your job, so you don't have that income stream. Or were you trying to do the two at once for a period?
I tried to fade out the old and bring in the new. But to be honest, let's be under no illusion, it's probably the most difficult time in your life, because you are tested mentally. Is it the right thing to do? Have I done the right thing?
You had plenty of time during the 6 months to think about all that, looking at the four walls.
And, you know, you see then the people, you know, I was in senior management and I obviously had to step out of that. And you see the people who, you know, mightn't have had the abilities that were needed. And you see them going on up the ranks, you know, and their salaries increasing and my salary decreasing, you know.
You must have bumped into the former colleagues as well, Ian, around the town, and you'd be wondering, are they wondering, how am I doing now, or anything like that, no?
Yep, absolutely. There's one of them at the minute who's very ill in hospital, and last week I went up to the ward to see him, but I didn't want to go at the time that all the visitors were there, you know. And a nurse came in, him and I were having a great chat, you know, because we're very friendly. And the nurse came in and she says, "What are you doing in here?" You know, and she thought that I was canvassing or something, you know. And he burst Flyers. Out laughing, you know, he's waiting to go in for a major heart surgery. And he says, "No, this is my mate, you know, you can let him stay, you know." But
just on that point, given the business you're in, have you thought about your own funeral arrangements and the future of the business?
Absolutely. I have it done to a T. It's all written down. Would you like me to tell you about them?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
It's very important to me that this is done absolutely to the letter. I'm getting cremated, and 46% of my ashes are being buried in my Church of Ireland, in my wee parish churchyard. And 46% are being sprinkled half and half on the beach at the Skerries and on the road racing circuit, because I love road racing. And the other 8%, you may ask what I'm going to do with them. My son has agreed to blow them in my bank manager's face.
Grainne, what about you and the early period of the transition into running your own business and with your husband? A lot of stressful days, I'd say. And maybe some questions about, have we done the right thing?
Yeah, certainly it was a very interesting time, and I would agree with Ian that it can be very, very difficult. I certainly moved out of a large global company to working on my own. And, you know, I might not see somebody for 2 or 3 days at a time or speak to somebody other than maybe the person in the local shop who I would find myself striking up a conversation with while they looked at me baffled, taking the money for the milk and wondering why I wouldn't go away. So Tim was working in Dublin still at that time while I had relocated to Waterford. But there was so much to do and so much to learn. The learning curve was monumental. A lot of fun. But really, I think when you're really excited about setting up a new venture and you've planned it to the point where you shouldn't be failing in the first year because you've made all the allowances and you've planned it out and you've done everything as well as you can do and you've hopefully made the right decisions, then all you can be is excited about learning and getting it done and working like a Trojan, 8-10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, 9 or 10 days a week if you can squeeze it in, and you just don't even notice the time going because it is a lot of fun to build something up from scratch.
Okay, Grainne Walsh, Ian Milne, and Peter O'Connell, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thanks.
Thank you.